Blog Talk Radio.
You can dig all day and never find the root. You're gonna get dirty, child, digging for the root. If you're looking for an answer, what's wrong with the truth? Keep digging, child, looking for the root. Look for love, it must be love. Look for love, it must be love. Is a sin. There's no one who can fix it. It's forgiveness in the end. Look for love. It must be love. Look for love. It must be love. What's wrong with the truth? Keep digging, child, looking for the root. Look for love, it must be love. Look for love, it must be love. It must be love. Look for love. Look for love.
Welcome to the third installment of Black History Month, History Speaks, sponsored by Gospel Gold Radio Program. Gospel Gold is a one-hour internet radio program. It's not just another music program. It is a program dedicated to the preservation of traditional African-American gospel music. Gospel Gold is on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time. You can be a part of the Gospel Gold community. We direct you to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and share so others will know that Gospel Gold is on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Our new season starts tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m., the new season of Gospel Gold. But we are not here tonight to talk about Gospel Gold. Tonight we are here in a series of interviews that I am doing with various historians and people who are active in the community, preserving the history of our people. And tonight, I thank God that I have with me tonight, Mrs. Doris Battle. Sister Battle is a historian. She is the administrator of the Facebook page, North Carolina Forgotten History. If you have not had an opportunity to take a look at that Facebook page, I suggest that you do so. There is a wide range of information on that Facebook page, and I wanted to bring her tonight so that we can speak to her, we can talk to her, and she can tell us about the history of North Carolina, not just the history of Wake County, but other counties as well in the state. So if you have not had an opportunity to go to the Facebook page of North Carolina Forgotten History, please do so in the coming days. I'm sure you will enjoy what you see. So I'm glad tonight to have Sister Battle on the line. Sister Battle, are you there tonight?
I am.
Good afternoon.
Evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so very much for being a part of this series. I'm going to be playing this series on Gospel Gold from time to time throughout the year. So what we are talking about today is being recorded, and it's going to be cataloged, and we will be able to come back at any point and hear this broadcast over again. I have coming on later on Dr. William Rogers, my brother, who is a historian from the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. He is a Durhamite as well, and he will be joining us probably later to speak with you as well. But I wanted to start tonight with you. I wanted to ask, as I look at this Facebook page, you and the committee put an extraordinary amount of information together. It seems as if you all did an extensive search of the history. How did this come about?
It came about by the community not knowing, first of all, about our history, but mainly we was concentrating on the Rosenwald schools, and we were surprised how little our communities knew about the Rosenwald schools. Booker T. Washington and Julius Rosenwald, we were just surprised that the community knew very little about the experience of the Rosenwald.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the Rosenwald School?
Yes. Booker T. Washington was the president and founder of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Yes, Booker T. Washington. He realized the injustice of our education system. And so even before he met Julius Rosenwald, they had already been working on educating the students in Alabama and had built some schools. He used the students that were at Tuskegee Institute a lot to help build the community and housing and schools and stuff like that. I think Julius Rosenwald read his book, Up from Slavery, and he was thoroughly impressed. And they went to a meeting, the function together, and they met each other, and they sought a collaboration between the two of them to help the black schools become educated, have better schools, because a lot of our schools are just really not fit for education. And, of course, it was not equal, separate, but was not equal. And so they just came up with this cooperation that they would help out our people. Without them doing so, the education of the South, in particular, wouldn't be what it is. We wouldn't have been educated as much, because we had doctors and lawyers and, you know, all kinds of profession to come out of these schools. And so we are really proud of, and we really want the community to know the significance of these schools. And that was that's how it actually started. And then we realized, well, there's a whole lot of other things that we do not know about. So let's get something going here. And that's what we did.
Well, you all have done an excellent job of that. There's no question about it. I had heard of the Rosenwald School. I did not know Julius Rosenwald. I did not know that name until I heard about the schools.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He was a very humble man. He did not want the school. He didn't want any of the schools to have his name. But, of course, some of them did in respect. They thought, I guess, it was such a amazing things that he was doing, and they did, some of the schools did put his name on the school. Also, some of the schools put Booker T. Washington on the school, And it's just an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is that connected, or is it connected to the Apex Consolidated School? Is that connected, or is that different?
That's connected, yes. We had at least 48 Rosenwald schools in Wake County. Now, mind you, at the time, Raleigh City Schools was not connected with Wake County. They were separate. So North Carolina had more Rosenwald schools than any other state in the South. So over 800, I believe. There was over 5,000 total Rosenwald schools, but North Carolina had the most.
That's impressive. That's amazing, too, that someone of his stature would, he was a Jewish person, I presume, that named Rosenwald.
He was a Jew, yes. A Jew, and wasn't that amazing? A Jew cooperating with a black man to make this happen. That's just amazing. Just it's a beautiful thing that
it is.
Once we, when we all come together, we have more alike than we have differences. So once we all come together and realize this, the world would be a better place, I believe.
And that was, we're talking about, 1890, 1880? What was that? What year was that?
Mm-hmm. That was 18, well, Booker T was born. That was around 1815 that we're talking about, the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, before then, they were already building in Alabama before he met him. Now, you mentioned Apex School. Well, we helped out with the Holly Springs School was the first school. Holly Springs Elementary was the first school that we helped get the historical marker planted. I wanted to know more about my. When I was in elementary school, I went to Holly Springs Elementary. And so I went to the library and I did research and I came across a article that said something about Holly Springs, Rosenwald School being in Holly Springs. And I had never heard this before. I mean, they had torn down the school before I got there. And so I had never heard that information before. And so we started doing research on it. And sure enough, even some of the citizens knew about the school. My uncle went to the school. George Kimball went to the school. So people knew about the school, but they just wasn't telling us about the school. And so we started going to some of the older people that we knew in Holly Springs. And they said, yes, it was there. It was a wooden building, and it was high off the ground. And when it would rain, we would play under the building. Also the boys would come early to start the fire so that we have heat in the building. It's the same thing with almost all the Rosenwald schools. Almost all of them have a picture of Julius Rosenwald in the building, probably when they first walk in. Of course, the president, I think George Washington, will have a picture, Abraham Lincoln, they will have a picture of him hanging in most of the rooms. If you look at some of the pictures that's authentic, they have those pictures up there. The flag, the United States flag is hanging somewhere in the room normally. And the teachers and the principals and the staff, it didn't necessarily have to be the teacher. It could be anybody in the school that's adults and had authority to tell you to do something. And you being a child, you know, you respected them to do whatever they, you know, had said, because everybody had the children's best interest at heart during those times.
You said something about the teachers. Do you remember or do you know any of the names of the teachers at that time? Anybody ever speak about them?
George Kimball, he would know. I don't know if I asked any of them about the name. Well, let me take that back. Now, Mr. Hunt, William Earl Hunt, was one of the teachers at first, I believe, and then he became the principal at Holly Springs Elementary School. Yeah, Mrs. Mims was one of the teachers. She taught at Holly Springs. I don't know if she taught there the whole time that it was became the elementary school, but when I started school, she was still there. Yeah, I can't think of all of them off the top of my head.
I understand. That was quite a long time ago, and I know it's a lot of information to keep in your brain, keep out of your head, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you have to go back to the notes. But, yeah, Mr. Hunt's wife was a teacher also. When I was in school, she was my teacher. And so he died. When he died, she didn't become principal. She was acting principal until his term ran out. And then Mr. Perry became the principal there for the remaining of the 1970 when they integrated the school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the Facebook page, you have a picture. You were talking about pictures earlier. I want to go back to that. I'll come back to that again. But you have a picture of a gentleman who was one of the – he was a doctor. And he was a doctor who primarily specialized in pediatrics. What is his name?
Mm-hmm.
There's no name under him. Who is he?
There was no name under him?
I don't think I saw a name under him.
He's a I'm sure. I know who you're talking about.
Right. He was an African-American doctor who specialized in
yeah.
pediatrics because the people at that time did not have, and he didn't have the money to pay him, so he did a lot of work free.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Burton, Mr. Burton, Dr. Burton, that's who you're referring to. Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He's a very distinguished-looking gentleman, yeah. And I was wondering who he was because I saw that picture.
Yeah, he's actually out of, now we'll put a name under that. I didn't realize I did not have a name under his. Yes, it's Dr. Frederick Burton, and he is from... He's from Fuquay, actually, and it has many relatives there even now. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your family?
Oh, my family?
And your roots. Yes,
Yes, I would love to. First of all, my grandfather, he pastored at First Baptist Holly Springs, and I'm not sure if that was always been the name of the church. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what year it was or anything like that, but he was the founder of St. Mary's Fruitville Baptist Church, and this is my third grandfather. And he owned his own property in Swift Creek, and we just from doing the research, we're just finding this out. For some reason, they just didn't talk to the third generation. I talked to one of my cousins yesterday, and I guess they told the second generation this information. But and I asked them at the table because it was eating at the table, and they said, "Yeah, we knew it." I said, "So why didn't anybody tell us?" I am overjoyed to learn this information that he was the founder of St. Mary's. They don't have a Founder's Day where they bring in the relatives of the founder of the church, and I grew up in St. Mary's. I never knew anything about this information. Would love to know. And he's actually buried at St. Mary's, but I don't know if they know where his grave is at even. And the church itself was named after his wife, Mary, because he thought she was a saint. And so, and therefore he named her St. Mary. But it made the church St. Mary's, and it's just a beautiful story. And his grandchildren, I know they walked around like they owned the church sometimes. You know how church people do sometimes. So but that was probably the reason. That was probably the reason because, they had that connection. Yeah. And so the aunts and the uncles and all was in the same area. So I didn't know the difference between my aunt-in-law or my just my aunt. I didn't know when I was growing up because you just have to you would have to respect, you know, all adults from that time. I grew up in a small area, and they call it St. Mary's, and it's right there by the church. In fact, the house I was born in, my mother was born there, and her mother lived there. And the house still stands. The house is still standing, but it's about to fall over. But and I wish we could save it, but I doubt if that would happen. But, yeah, and it was a community store there, a community bench where they would gather on Saturdays and Sundays and fellowship, eat. If somebody had a watermelon or something in the garden, they would cut it and just share it. The men in the community sometimes would drink alcohol, and they would cut up, and they would have you laughing, really laughing, because, you know, the things they would do and say. But it was really, really a loving community. Didn't understand it then, but then, you know, you could walk into people's houses, and when you knock on the door was never locked. Mm-hmm. Go anywhere and eat at, you know, the houses around because, you know, that was just the community. If people if they start cursing at the bench where if children were there, first they would ask us, the children, okay, you need to go play somewhere or something like that. Or they would say, don't you see that child there? You know, so it was respect for the children, and the children definitely had respect for us. The children had respect mm-hmm. for the adults. The store mm-hmm. that was across the street, I don't remember seeing white people in our little area until, you know, they would come and bring drinks and things to replenish the store. That was the only time I remember seeing white people. In my mind, I guess I would think it was more black people in the world than it was white, because in my little circle, that's the only thing I would see. Because on Sunday morning, you know, you go to Sunday school and you go to church because that's what you did, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just a wonderful, wonderful community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to love and get along with everybody. Mm-hmm.
Does your family get together on a regular basis? Reunions?
Well, not the large group that used to, my immediate family, my sisters, my aunts and uncles and things like that, we'll get together, some cousins and friends. But, I mean, it used to be all the uncles and uncles, aunts and things like that. They were, you know, come together like that. But, yeah, we still get together, but not in the manner that we did. The bench was, I guess, the community spot. And, yeah, the uncles and aunts and things sort of passing away. And so that the glue to help the family together, I guess you would say, wasn't there anymore. So, yeah.
Well, I am enthused that these pictures that you have on the Facebook page, these pictures are excellent. I have seen beautiful pictures. I've never seen so many preserved pictures. And they are, there's a house. And I guess somebody put underneath it, I wonder where this is. Do you know where that house is? It's an old abandoned house. Looks like it's back up in the woods. Is that somebody's old home place?
You're probably talking about the house that I'm talking about. It's right down on Holly Springs Road.
Okay.
I wish I could see which one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you pass by the church and look to your right, as soon as you pass coming down to Holly Springs, you would see it. And that's proud, because that's the one I'm so proud of. I'm trying to find it. But that's
somebody wrote underneath it, I wonder where this is. I guess they were trying to figure out where it was, too. Because it's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, that
it really is.
That wasn't mine. That was someone, they sent that in. And, mm-hmm. We didn't know the person. I see it. That's what you're saying. Yeah. They sent it in, and we didn't know them. They're with the Forgotten South.
Mm.
The Forgotten South is in North Carolina. So it's not really our site. Somebody named Kelly Cosmos posted that. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So what kind of feedback? It seems like other groups and other people are beginning to see this Facebook page. So what kind of feedback have you gotten from the Facebook page?
Been all positive. I have not received anything negative. Everybody seems to be very interested in learning history. It's a good timing for it. Also, people calling in asking me to research their family. We have did that, try to make a connection with some people have lost track of different family members, and they try to get back to their roots, I guess.
Well, I tell you what, you have done an excellent job, you and the committee. Who are some of the people on the committee with you doing this, on this project?
Angie Steadley, she's doing the Finding Patients play in Holly Springs. I think it's in June. Finding Patient, the musical. She's on it. Catherine Harris, which is my sister. Gerald Hinton, he's a renowned national singer, and he has sung at all the programs that we had, and he don't charge us anything when he do it. So we're so proud to have him. I didn't mention we did Fuquay's unveiling Thursday, and he was there. He has a Rosenwald anthem, and it is amazing. Brings tears to your eyes, and it really embodies what it was all about. So if you get a chance to play that, please play that song. It's called the Rosenwald Anthem.
I sure will.
We played it at Fuquay, and we played it yesterday in Apex. And, yeah, it's just amazing. And we're planning on hopefully two more next year, unveiling the markers, but we have to do the research to find out which ones. And I know someone in the mountain, my husband's a minister, and his church is in Morganton, and they have asked to come out there to try to get two of their Rosenwald schools, the markers there, placed there. So I think that might be one of the next ones we're looking to. And I know Beryl Kelly has one, but it has the 1910 date when the school was first built. So it was a Rosenwald school too. They gave funds to that and built all the buildings. So I would like to see another marker there that's, that has when Rosenwald, the date that Rosenwald stepped in and start helping. Because it was Beryl Kelly in Raleigh, it was an amazing building. In fact, one time Julius Rosenwald came to Raleigh and he visited the site, and he said that he wished he could just put it on a wagon, the school on a wagon, and take it around and show them what the schools should look like. Most of the buildings have been torn down. The gym is still there. I think of what they call the agriculture building. It was still standing. And I don't know if anything else is standing, but I think it was 10 buildings on the property at one time. We're thankful that the gym is still there and the other buildings still there, whatever's left. We're so thankful for that.
Well, thank you. We're going to take about a two-minute break. I have Dr. Rogers on the line. He's going to come on. We're going to take about 2 minutes. If you want to get a sip of water, it will be right back. We're talking with Mrs. Doris Battle, who is the administrator of the Facebook page, North Carolina Forgotten History. If you have not had a chance to look at that Facebook page, please do so. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the heart. march on till victory.
Welcome back to Black History Month, Black History Speaks, Part 3. We're speaking with Ms. Doris Battle, who is the administrator of a wonderful, wonderful Facebook page, North Carolina Forgotten History. Also, I have joining with me this afternoon is my brother, Dr. William Rogers, historian from the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. He's also a Durhamite, Sister Battle, and he is on the line. Dr. Rogers, are you on the line right now?
Yes, good afternoon, Reverend Rogers, to you and your guests.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much for being on the line. I have spoken to her about how she started this wonderful, wonderful Facebook page. And Sister Battle, it was Dr. Rogers who actually turned me on to the Facebook page. He called me from Milwaukee. Yeah, he called me from Milwaukee and said, have you seen this Facebook page? So I'm going to ask him to chime in. Dr. Rogers, if you have any questions, you go right ahead.
Yes, right. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Ms. Battle. I'm very pleasure meeting you. Wonderful meeting you.
Thank you.
That is a remarkable project that you have assembled. It is extremely dynamic. I'm a historian, as my brother indicated, and I'm always looking at ways that we can preserve our culture and our history. And you have put together a virtual museum. It really is. That is a museum. So I'm just awed at the amount of work that I'm sure it took to put that together. So thank you so much for your vision in being able to do that. The one thing that, I was born and raised in North Carolina, and I know a lot about some of the history. I went to North Carolina Central, and we used to talk about a lot of different things during those times about North Carolina. And then Michael and my parents, Reverend Rogers' parents, and my parents traveled a lot in the state, and they used to go to all kind of different places. And a lot of them I had not gone. Some of them were born like in Warren County, Hertford County, places like that. I had never gone, but I used to hear them talk about it so much. And then when I looked at your museum, it brought a lot of that to reality. There's one place that I got to ask you about, because I remember my grandmother, our grandmother, telling me one day about Kittrell College and the fact that she used to go to Kittrell College.
Wow.
And so that's what I wanted to ask you about. When I saw that, I just couldn't believe it. So, first of all, I know it's no longer there, obviously, that, but how did you get that information? How did you come about Kittrell College?
My daughter, Star Battle, went to North Carolina Central, and one of her majors was history. She has a master's in history. And she did her thesis on Lest We Forget, Kittrell College. So she did some research, was trying to get some research from the church. Kittrell College was an AB church school. And so they had some records. And so she was trying to get the information from the church. So it was kind of locked down. They didn't share that much. So she had to start researching from some students that from the area that went to school there. And so they were very good sharing the information. Some played baseball there. Then I have a question for you when we finish this. Then, like I said, it's the Amy Church. So Sarah wrote a thesis. I went with her to Duke Library because she found that they had a lot of information there about Kittrell College. I would go to her, to Duke University, to help her with the research. And I just fell in love all over again with the history and wanted to know more and more about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
But
Duke University has a lot of that information.
Absolutely.
Who do you find in terms of your collection of your work, who did you find had the greatest archive for providing that? Did you go to UNC? Did UNC's library
yeah.
help any, or was it strictly Duke?
For Kittrell? For Kittrell
no, just
College?
In general. I want to go back to Kittrell,
general. No. We would go under any rock, anybody that was willing to share a story with us. We would go to any library. A lot of the research came from North Carolina, the Carolinians, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They were very good at keeping our history, and it was really dangerous for them to do so. One story about a man in our neighborhood named Lynn Council. In 1952, he was lynched. And he lived to tell about it because they pulled him off the ground, put the neck around his neck, pulled him off the ground, and he passed out. And then they took him back to jail when he came back through, too. So that story, they didn't have an account of that in Durham, but what they did, they had other stories of things that happened in Apex. The sheriff there, he actually killed two brothers that was from Bond Level that had drove through the area. He actually killed them in jail. He arrested three of them, but he killed two of them. And this happened right before, around the time the Mr. Council had been lynched. And because Mr. Council said that in the story, because you can't imagine somebody going through what he went through, and all these years later, he's able to tell about, because he had locked it all up for, he wouldn't tell any about it. I guess he was just afraid to tell it because he didn't know what would happen to him nor his family.
Right.
And so so when he started telling the story, that story came out. Then another story came out about this Saint Bagwell. His name was Sam Bagwell. He beat up Mr. Scott in Apex. He was a white man, and he liked light-skinned black women, pretty black women. And so he beat up him because he liked the girl that he was liking at the time, from what I understand. And he was ended up being hospitalized at St. Augustine Hospital. And so that kind of information came out and made us want to dig even deeper to find out. They didn't teach us none of this in school. And our families, in some situation, didn't share the information with us. And so we just want to know. We just develop a hunger to find out what really is happening or has happened.
That's amazing. How helpful were the black newspapers in North Carolina? Because you mentioned the Carolinian. I know that's the Raleigh paper. Now, what about
One in Durham. Yeah, this is one. But Raleigh also, all of them, they was tremendous help. Now, some of the big newspaper, bigger, larger newspaper, News and Observer, the ones we had problems with was like if it's a little town newspaper, sometimes it was really biased in what they were saying. So we would read it, but you have to kind of just know that, they have that mindset that what they're writing may not be exactly true. It is information. Yeah. So we dig wherever we could dig. We did our research from people, the newspaper, internet, and because it is COVID time, you can go into many of the libraries and, do what we wanted to do. But then they start posting more information online because, you know, the libraries were closed. Fisk University, Fisk University has the archive for the Rosenwald schools, and they have most of the Rosenwald schools documents there. So that was great. That was great for us.
Yeah, that was helpful. Right, I'm sure that was. One last thing, because I could talk to you all night long about this stuff, because this is my passion as well. One last question. Did you run across any information on, speaking of the black newspapers, the Carolina Times editor, whose name was Mr. Lewis Austin, had bought some property out in Franklinton, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And what he was going to do was build a home for pregnant teens.
Oh, wow.
And he also was going to build a retirement home for retired ushers, because he was very heavily into the Interdenominational Ushers Union of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Did you run across anything like that?
I didn't really dig into his. I just love that. Now it was that his son that passed last year.
Did his son pass? Okay.
He passed last year. We have not done a whole lot of information research on him, and if we did, it's not. I can't remember it all. But we were amazed that we did find out that it was really dangerous for him to do what he was doing because it was burning newspaper down. Matter of fact, I think theirs was burnt down at one time, too.
Right.
But they were able to, I guess people had old newspaper, so they were able to put some of it on the database.
I was going to say there's a book that just was released on the life of Lewis Austin by NCCU history professor.
Really?
He wrote a book on him. It's not quite as thorough as I would like to have seen it, he did not mention some of those things, but it was at least it was something. It gives people an idea of the energy behind
it. Yeah, that's a start. That is a start. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I said. We can get a start. Maybe I can get a piece of the information. Maybe you can get a piece of information, and we put it all together. We'll have something there. And nobody be jealous of anybody because there's too much hidden information out here.
Too much
stuff. We need to get together
and
bring it. Yeah.
Sister Bella, you said you had a question. Go right ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was
you had
the question.
You a question for
had.
Dr. Rogers?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the question. I believe I asked it already when we were talking.
I'm sorry, say it again. What was the question?
I can't remember right now. It was in the conversation that we were talking about, and I can't remember what it was right now.
Okay, I don't talk to you there.
No, not at all. No, I love this. I love it. I will, if I can think of what it is, I will get back in touch with you too.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
What
year was your daughter at Central doing the in Black History? Not Black History, in the History Department.
I think it was 80, I can't remember it off the top of my head, 80-something. But then she went on and she got her law degree after that. We were really blessed.
We might have been in there together. Yeah. I was there. I graduated in 83.
No. How long did you tell me? She's
I graduated in the History Department.
What year did South was signed? Carolina, Central for History. Sorry, what year were you in Carolina for History? History. For History, not Juris
Doctor.
Okay, she said 2011 when she graduated for History.
Oh, 2011. Oh, yeah, I had for it. Yeah, I was there during
the
year that. Go right ahead.
another question I wanted to ask you. What year did your mother attend Kentrell?
Oh, Kentrell. Oh, man. This was my grandmother.
Yes.
Your grandmother?
Okay.
My grandmother.
Your grandmother said, what year was that? Was it in the 60s or the 50s or what was that? You know?
It's got to be the early years, almost or maybe when it first started. Talk about it.
Yeah.
Because at one point, Kitzel was also had the completion of your high school diploma, right? She got her high school diploma from.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then she went
on
to do 1 or 2 years in college. And she did it. Because like I remember, I was young when she was telling me about it. And, you know, a lot of that was just motivational talk for me to go to school and learn. And for Michael to go to school and learn. It was like a motivation talk.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm asking is the historian from Henderson, where Kendra's at, someone sent him a picture of some black boys from Kentrell sitting at a counter, you know, during the 60s. And at the time, they wouldn't give their name because, you know, they were burning crosses and stuff like that. So, of course, they wouldn't tell in the pictures. But now they want to kind of honor them. Like they do with the Green Barrels, the boys that sit at the county in Greensboro. They want to kind of honor them, but they don't know the name of the guys. So he was asking me, did I know anybody that went to school in the 60s? And that's the reason I asked you.
Oh, no, that was
there in
before
the 60s.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
When I saw that in your display, I said, Kentrell College, look at this. And you even went so far as to have the faculty. I thought that was extremely interesting. The courses that they took, that was just amazing. I mean, it really was. I mean, my eyes were bursting with joy when I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They even they can sign up if they went to Kentrell. So they're trying to get the people names that went to Kentrell in one database, I guess. And so they could sign up that.
There's another little school like that too, called Palmer Moore Institute.
Yes.
I know. I think the Muslims have it now.
Correct?
I think it's still around, but the Muslims put it.
Oh, well, that's great.
It had a rich
history. Yes, they do. Yes, and Mrs. Farmer was, really amazing. She did things, Dr. Farmer, she did things that you look back on, you say, well, how in the world were they able to do what they did with nothing? But they did.
I last question was my last question, but I'm going to ask you one more thing, and then I'm not going to say anymore. There used to be a beach in North Carolina that was designed for teachers. It was called Shawan Beach.
Oh.
And teachers used to go there during the summer after the school was over, and vacation with their family.
Oh.
It was called Shawan Beach. And,
Shawan
One of the
Beach.
Yeah, Chowan. One of the NCCU history professors, his name is Dr. Percy Murray, wrote a book on it. And I lost that book. I can't find it anywhere. I just wanted to know, did you run across anything about a Shawan Beach for teachers?
I have not, but I will look that up. But you should be able to get the book. You still should be able to order it. If they don't, sometimes, you know, they don't have it in the store. It's not published anymore. But a lot of the thrift stores, they're putting theirs online now that you can purchase books from them. So one Beach. I'm going to look that up. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Okay. Well, Reverend Rogers, you hit the bell on the head this time, my friend.
Well, thank you so very much. We got just a few minutes, and Sister Bella, I'm going to ask you about some names. I'm just going to call out some names, and you can just give us a brief information about these names. Some of these names I do know, but I'm acting as if I don't know them. I just want you to tell us briefly who these people are. Who is or was Womble Parish?
Oh, wow. He was the chief of Holly Springs, I would say. And I'm not just saying that he's married my cousin Nancy Hinton, which is Gerald Hinton's sister.
Mm-hmm.
He married Gerald Hinton's sister, Parrish did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he passed already.
But
there's a Parrish Park in the area, and I know you know all about that.
He was able to
get a lot of things going in Holly Springs because he knew so many people, and so the school itself, I'm told that the school, he was able to get the property for the elementary school and high school in the area. He was just an all around nice guy. He knew you might be asking about him later, so I won't say anything about that. Go ahead.
I knew Mr. Perry, and he was a wonderful man. He was a member of First Baptist Holly Spring. Who was Abraham Justice?
Abraham Justice. Yeah, Mr. Justice. At Apex?
Mm-hmm.
Was he in Apex?
Yes.
Yes. Him and his wife started the community that Lynch Street was on. They had a street and a community. You know what Albright Center Home? I'm not familiar with that.
But
that community back there on that side, him and his wife kind of started the community. And there used to be a family in Apex, and their last name was Lynch. So they named the street, this was a black community, they named the street Lynch Street. And it disturbed a lot of the black citizens in the community, but because they didn't know that there was a family that it was named after.
Right.
At that time, there was a lot of lynching going on in North Carolina or in the area. So they didn't think it was appropriate to have that name. Well, on this year we have a new mayor in Apex, and he's a black man, mayor, and he helped get the name change of the road and named it after the family's name.
Who was William Davis?
William Davis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a minister, I believe.
Right.
A preacher.
Reverend William Davis, I'm sorry.
Yes. And now I don't feel like I could do him justice because I know he did so many things in the community. The only thing I really know about him, he was the pastor of the church on Lynch Street. Going back to Lynch Street, there's a church on Lynch Street. He's a pastor there. But it sounds like he did so many things that I don't want to mess it up saying what he did because I can't pick up off the top of my head. But it sounds like he was a super nice guy, yeah.
Well, it seems as if you all are still compiling information. Is there going to be a continuation of this Facebook page, or have you all decided to stop, or are you continuing to add more to it?
Oh, no, we will never stop. I hope we will never stop because we find something new every day and that amazes us. How did they do so much with so little? But they did it, and they made it work. It was so much love in the community, some I wish we had today It was just, I don't think we are ever stopped. Yeah, we continue to pal.
Dr. Rogers, we have a few minutes left. Is there another question that you would like to ask?
No, I just want to add again, that's a marvelous site. I know you still, like you said, there's a lot more that's out there on the history of African people in North Carolina, and I don't think there's anything as comprehensive as that that I've ever seen. And I've looked at a lot of stuff, and I haven't seen anything that quite that comprehensive.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so very much. We need to tell our history. I do believe this.
Sister Ballard, we have a few minutes left. I'm going to give you the last word. Talk about what you would like to see happen.
I would like for our history to be shared. You can change a lot of things, but you cannot change history. History has happened, and if we don't know our history, somebody said, and I'm convinced that it was my third grandfather, Reverend Hicks, that said, because it has been passed down from generation to generation, that if you don't know your history, you're subject to repeat it. And, you know, that has been taught and said in our family, but I just thought that it was somebody out here in my family that made it up. And I do believe that we should know our history, because if you look at what's going on today, it's the same thing that was going on in the 60s. You know, we're still trying to fight for our rights. So that's what I would just like for people to know. Learn your history. It's a beautiful thing, you know. It's not all bad. It's a beautiful thing to learn your history. Nobody can make you ashamed of what you know for yourself. It's not what somebody you have did the research. Your older family members have told you. So nobody can make you ashamed of that. So that's what my last word would be. Yes.
Well, thank you so very much for being a part of this tonight. As I said before, you will be able to hear this over and over again. It's going to be posted on the Gospel Gold Facebook page, and perhaps you may post it as well on your Facebook page
others
will be able to hear this conversation.
Absolutely.
So thank you so very much. Dr. Rogers, thank you so very much as well.
Yes, thank you for inviting me to this one. This was great. Yes.
Thank you. All right. So
thank you.
God bless you.
So nice meeting both of you.
Thank you so much. Nice meeting
you.
We'll talk soon. Thank all of you. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
All day and never find the root. You're gonna get dirty, child, digging for the root. If you're looking for an answer, what's wrong with the truth? Keep digging, child, looking for the root. Look for love, it must be love. Look for love, it must be love. Original is a sin. There's no one who can fix it. It's forgiveness in the end. Look for love. It must be love. Look for love. It must be love. Oh,
you're looking for, and